When I was a young director, I always wondered why they gave us 30 minutes warm-up time at festivals, because I would run out of things to do after about 5 minutes. But not anymore. Back in a minute.
Strike up the band, so you can give your kids a helping hand. From interviews to teaching tips, you'll add this to your bag of tricks. There's no smarter way to spend your time, so keep it right here with James Devine. The Music Ed Podcast, where you get quick and easy tips on how to be a better band teacher.
So when I was younger, I always felt like they gave us too much time for warming up at festivals. But I realize now, I just didn't quite know what to do and how to use that time. So today we're going to talk about how to use your warm-up time properly at a festival. One of the ways to think about it is to think about what you normally do for your warm-up routine. And really, that should be what you usually include in the festival time also. If you try to change things too much or do something differently than you normally do, then it's going to kind of put the students a little bit at unease. But if this is your normal routine, then the students will be used to that. So I encourage you to kind of think long term, and if you aren't using some of these things, to look at the possibility of using them. I always start with some breathing exercises. When I was young, once again, I had no exercises in my repertoire really until this past year, when I bought the book, The Breathing Gym, and I'll put a link to that in the podcast notes. And The Breathing Gym has a ton of exercises, so you can change it up and work on some things that work different parts of the breathing muscles and lung capacity and that sort of thing. If you're not sure what to do, you can do just this simple exercise. I'll just call it the 10-10-10. And you start with a full tank of air, and then have the group breathe out together 10 beats, breathe in together 10 beats, trying to use that entire 10 beats to exhale completely and the entire 10 beats to inhale completely. And then you hold for 10 beats, but it's not like you're holding your breath underwater. In fact, in the book, they call this suspending the air, and it just means you're stopping the flow of the air, not like you're trying to hold your breath and beat your friend in a competition. And so you'll repeat this 10-10-10 maybe 3 or 4 times, and with the suspend at the end of each group. Then I like to do what are called F Remingtons. And we just start on our concert F, and everyone's trying to play fortissimo, and we just hold it out, and then you go down one step from the F and back to the F. Then we take another big breath, and we go play the F again, go down 2 steps from the F, and then back to the F. You probably have heard this done before. You have to teach your students this at the beginning of the year, and then we do it every day whenever we're about to perform. And even if we've had a break in rehearsal and are coming back from an extended break, we may even do these just to get the air flowing. Pick out a scale in a nice range. I just really like B flat, but you can also pick out a scale in the key of a song you're about to perform in, and remind the students to listen down. In fact, maybe you can build the tonic of the note from the basses on up, so the students can be reminded to listen to that bass sound. I always like to do a tonguing exercise, and I'll usually do what I call the 175-50-25. I actually stole that from Dr. Canova, who's a good friend and mentor of mine. And I'll have them play some notes of a scale at 100%. So I call it doo-doo tonguing. Doo-doo-doo-doo. Then at 75%, doo-doo-doo-doo, with just a little bit of space between. And then 50%, I usually call staccato. Dot-dot-dot. Dot, and then 25% is like as short as you can make it. Dit, 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 dit. And you might just remind the students to make sure that they have air behind their tongue. What I find is that there's some students who have a great tone until the moment they try to play short notes. And basically why that's happening is they're not getting enough air behind the tongue to start the sound. Usually at this point is then when I'll sound a note from the tuner and have everybody play a concert B flat. Then I might tune the low instruments, tuba, bari sax, trombone, baritone, individually. And then the section leaders I'll tune to the tuner and have them play individually. And then we'll have that group play the tuning note, and then we'll have the entire group join in, trying to make their sound fit into their section leader sound. That seems to be really effective for me. The next thing I like to do is a chorale, and I really like the function chorales, and I want to thank my friend Keith Basalin for turning me onto those a number of years ago. The function chorales are about 25 chorales written with numbers instead of with notes. So you just pick a key, and the students can play these chorales in any of the 12 keys. Actually, there's 15 keys, but most people tend to congregate to the 12. In this process, you can do these chorales in the key of the song you're in. You can just do an easy key. I wouldn't try anything new on contest day, but if they're used to doing these, a Bach chorale works great also. Some type of long connected exercise where they can really focus in on listening to each other. This whole process probably takes me 10 to 15 minutes, and I haven't even gotten to the music yet that we're going to perform. What I like to do with the music, I kind of have a philosophy that was developed even when I was in junior high. And I always thought if you don't have the music prepared for whatever contest you're going to, you're not really going to change much of it that day. So I may have picked this up from one of my private teachers. I just don't know if it was something I developed. I'd like to think I developed it, but maybe I didn't. Even in high school when I would audition for honor bands, I'd hear all these other students running through their music. And I didn't do that. I might hit some spots of it. So this is just a philosophy I have, that the day of the contest, there's not much you can do to improve the performance. Now, you can remind students of everything you've worked on. I guess what I'm saying is if they haven't played a crescendo for the 2 months you've been working on the piece, they're not going to start playing the crescendo that day. But if they're playing a crescendo at 100% of what you know they're capable of, and you don't review it that day at the performance, they may only give you 70% of what they're capable of. So I kind of think of it as like a review. I like to hit the beginnings of songs so we can make sure we're comfortable with that and coming in together. I like to hit the major crescendos and decrescendos and the ritardando areas, and we'll run through those in the pieces. And just as a tag to that, I plan this out before we get to the site. Sometimes I do it on the bus ride to the site. Otherwise, your brain is going to be so scattered and your nervousness is going to kick in. So I actually write down the areas we're going to work on, and I just kind of write out a little rehearsal plan before we get to the warm-up room. I might hit some runs, and I might hit some solos or exposed areas, and then endings and releases. If you hit those things, that's probably going to take 5 to 7 minutes of the time you have allotted in the warm-up room. After that, we might do another quick tune or play another chorale or part of a chorale and just double-check the tuning is still good to go. And then I'll explain the procedures of what we're about to do, that we're going to go to the stage, that we're going to find our seats, and that if your seat isn't where it normally is, don't panic. Just go ahead and move things, move stands around. If we're short a stand, then let me know, and we'll make sure to get the stand. If there's a timpani missing, whatever the case might be, if something isn't quite right, then I tell them in advance, you don't need to panic about that. We'll get it fixed. When we get to the stage, we fix any spacing or percussion problems. It's okay to take a couple of minutes to do that. When I was a young teacher, I was so nervous. I just thought you'd get on stage and I'm wondering what the judges are thinking of me. And I thought when you got to the stage, you're just kind of stuck with how it's set up. But I use that time now to set it up for what makes me and my students comfortable. The judges are busy giving their final feedback on the previous performance, or they may be starting to look at the score for your performance, or they may just be taking a little mental break. But don't be worried about them. They're there to do the best judging they can for you, and you don't need to be nervous because of them. They're educators just like you are, just with more experience. I tell that to my students all the time. We do something called a student-led rehearsal that I'll post a podcast on sometime, where they are the ones giving the feedback on the rehearsal. And I tell them, you guys are all musicians also. The only difference between you and me is I have about 25 years more experience than you. But they're all musicians, and they know what to look for. So it's the same thing with the judges. The only difference between you and a judge is that the judge may have a little bit more experience than you do. So we fix the spacing or percussion problems and get all that moved to where we want it. And we might play, different people have different philosophies on this. Some people get to the stage and they don't play anything. I like to get the students comfortable so they feel comfortable with the space we're at. So we'll play a scale or a chorale or sometimes just a note. It kind of depends on where we're at for time and kind of what we're feeling. What I do recommend, however, whether you play or don't play, is don't tune on the stage. If you're not in tune, it's not going to change unless something happened. If the tuba dropped on the floor on the way to the stage and all the slides got pushed in, then you might check tuning because of that. But as far as like having a tuner out and going one by one down the line, if you couldn't get that done in the warm-up room, you're not really going to change much. Now, there could be exceptions. Once again, if you're in a strange situation where you had to leave the warm-up room, which was the band room, and then you had to walk across a parking lot that had 3 feet of snow on it and the temperature is -8 degrees, then you might do something along those lines just so you feel comfortable with that. The most important thing is this last thing. Just relax. Have a good time. You're there at contest to get great feedback from professionals who are there to improve your band. Occasionally, you get a wacko judge, and those people don't last very long in the judging circles. When I think back about the times I've had those, it's probably 1 out of 40 judges. And usually there's other people, sane people there at the same time. And so you'll get the great feedback from the other two judges in that specific case. So just relax, have a good time, put on your best performance, and I hope these tips have helped you.
The Music and Podcast, where you get quick and easy tips for how to be a better band team.